of this recording, France 15, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a super private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much newer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Coma, Coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. I'm not sure about the pronunciation here. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she whipped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My childhood was not so crazy. I grew up in a very traditional family, a happy family. And what it was to be a 10-year-old in France, I remember actually having a lot of time to play outside, outdoors with my friends. I remember that I wanted to be first a candy shop lady, can you say that? Okay. But then very rapidly, I thought there was already some sort of social pressure on me to maybe pick up another job. So I wanted to become, I think, around the age of 11, 12, an etymologist, which sounds very technical, but I love Latin. I love translating Latin into French. I had just a passion for words at a very early age, before even 10. So I wanted to work with words at a very early age. I think it was already something that was working in my mind. And, you know, then I was just reading this morning, we just reached the 4 millions in LA. So Paris is about, actually, if you include the suburbs, very close to that. You know, very similar in the sense of high price real estate, job opportunities being maybe more important, as you know, in small cities, pollution, density, but also the other good side is that you have a very intense cultural life. I would say there's one major difference is that city is a workable city. Paris is a workable city, so LA is not. And that's what I, as a European and as a French Parisian, woman I miss the most, to be able to enjoy those long walks for hours. I just come back from New York City this weekend, and I just feel that vibe of Paris in New York, you know, walk to work for hours.